I want to wish you all a Merry Christmas, and it's so good to have you here. This morning, it almost felt like Christmas for us. It was kind of cold. I think we will need the AC later. That's just Houston. Praise God for that. Apart from people that go to church today, all around this country, and I'm not sure the percentage anymore, it's much lower. It's only about 70% or so who believe, who call themselves Christians these days. And many of them don't go to church as well. I wonder what the people are thinking about when they think about Christmas. Absolutely, we have all kinds of events going on, shopping galore. Yesterday, we were just driving around a little bit and we're stuck in traffic jams. You know, everywhere, around our house, not in the city, in a suburb. And today is going to be even worse. So a lot of people can't get themselves to church today because they got to do the shopping, right? So, okay, Christmas is about shopping. There are others that are just all kinds of year-end events, parties, and so forth. Christmas is about party. It's a good thing, you know. Certainly, if you're a merchant, this is where you're going to make your black ink, right? Get it back to black. Because all year hasn't been that good. And so on and on. And in fact, a lot of people are probably anticipating right now for the New Year's, which is maybe a far bigger holiday for them. So, who is Jesus? I entitled it, What is in the Name? What is Jesus about in Christmas anyway? I want to play something for you. And I don't usually do that, but I want to play this. Just listen to this. For a moment, and this is what people are thinking about when they think about Jesus.
Okay, Alexa, who is the Lord Jesus Christ?
Jesus Christ is a fictional character.
Alexa, some of you have Alexa. We have all kinds of gimmick things, you know, that we call. Alexa is from Amazon. You get this little thing in there. You put it in the middle of a room. For those of us that are older, we don't know what you have to do besides just putting it in the room. You say things to it. It does things for you. I want to fly. Next thing you know, you're flying, right? Something like that. Well, Alexa answers your question. I want to hear this music. Well, this is something that happened. Now, maybe they've changed it. But this is what our young people, our people in general, are being told about Jesus. So what's in a name? Who is this Jesus anyway? Do we even care? Does he matter even for this holiday called Christmas? Maybe that's why we don't want to say Merry Christmas for a long, long time. That's being banned from all over the place. Just say Happy Holiday because that's all it is. It is a fictional character. Because why? Alexa told us so. That's what they tell us in schools. You know, you walk in once upon a time, I think last year, you walk into Target, maybe even this year, walk into Walmart, there's no Merry Christmas. It's Happy Holiday. So what's in the name? Jesus. What does it matter anyway? Well, this is Christmas, and we are in the church, so we think a little differently, don't we? And this passage in Isaiah is awesome. It goes back to Isaiah chapter 7, too, but, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But in Isaiah chapter 9, in these two verses alone, it describes a person. Well, eventually, we know his name is Jesus, and it talks about who he is. So first of all, we want to look at who is he? Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? In the verse 6 here, it says, for unto us, or to us, a child is born. I want you to know about this about Jesus. He's a real person, not a fictional person, but he is a person, a human being. For unto us, a child is born, okay? It is a child. It is a human person. We need to understand that because a lot of times we think about religion and there are all kinds of, you know, spiritual beings out there that have nothing to do with humanity at all. This is important that Jesus was a child. He was born into humanity. You say, what does that have to do with anything? It has everything to do with everything because the problem we have in this world for us is that we have sin in our lives. We need somebody to pay for our sin. We need somebody that would do that and has to be a person, a human being. For unto us a child is born. So Jesus Christ, and we'll talk about it in a moment, he is the Son of God, but also he is a person. There is his humanity. You know, sometimes we don't understand that. We go into theology and we say, what does that have to do with anything? It is so important that the person who dies for our sins, the person who takes our place, is the person that can. So it had to be a human being. And that's what he was. For unto us a child is born. And don't neglect that. Don't diminish that. This is so important. Jesus Christ is fully man. So he understands everything about you and everything about me. He has felt the same things you have felt. Whether the joy or the pains and so forth, he had experienced it. This is important. The second thing, it goes on. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. You say, well, does it sound like the same? No, it's not. To us a son is given. Whose son? It is not Joseph's son, you know. Jesus is not Joseph's son. It is the Son of the living God. A son is given. Who gave it? The Father God in the universe, who created the universe, he gave us. And this is really important because when you go back to chapter 7 of Isaiah, it talks about a child will be born from a virgin. And then we're going to give him the name Emmanuel. We sang that earlier. Emmanuel means God with us. So Jesus was fully man because he was born. He was fully God because he was God's son given to us. It's important to understand who he is. He's God and he's man. And so what does that matter? It matters a lot because that's how he saves us. Now we go on to the next thing, and I love this part. I don't know if you ever studied it before. I don't know if you ever really checked into what all these words mean. It began to describe what will he do. And there are so many things that Jesus has done, but these are four major categories that we read in Isaiah. First one, wonderful counselor. Jesus is a wonderful counselor. Now, those of you that have been counseled, maybe you have gone and said, I really need some counseling. And Barbara and I, she's a much better counselor than I, but we have counseled people. We've discovered most of the time people who come for counseling, or a lot of times, they don't really want to be counseled. They just want to be affirmed in what they are going to do, right? Regardless of what we say. I remember one time I was counseling a couple, and they wanted to get married, which is good. They were also living with each other for a long, long time. And so I said, look, you two are believers. You know what you're doing is wrong. I can't marry you like this. But you know, I can marry you if you guys repent of it and separate for a time. Oh, they didn't want to hear that. Not at all. They don't want to be counseled. They just wanted me to affirm them, to say it's okay, and do what they want me to do. Another time, it was a business transaction, and a guy said, you know what, Pastor Nate, I got to ask you, should I go and do this transaction? I looked at it, examined it, used scriptures, and said, you should not. He went out, and the next day, he got into the transaction. 3 months later, he went bankrupt. So I understand that. You know, sometimes we want counseling. Nevertheless, we need counseling, right? In fact, in seminary today, one of the biggest deal is a degree on counseling, Christian counseling. And some people are going into it, and there is a great need for that. Because we need to be counseled. And it says here, Jesus Christ, this being that is born, this child that was given, this son that was given to us, you know, this person is a wonderful counselor. Not only is he a counselor, he's a wonderful counselor. I was researching, what are the top 10 questions that people have in mind? Sometimes we think, you know, those things don't mean anything. Real life is not about these philosophical questions. And I used to think that because studying engineering, we always thought those philosophers, historians, English majors, they're going to be unemployed. They're meaningless, right? But that's not true. Because in philosophy, life revolves around that because the philosophical thinking of our society ultimately would turn us into how we live our lives, whether as a person, as a family, as a culture, as a nation. We will live that way. Major wars in this world are caused by philosophical thoughts. Consequences galore. So I looked up and I said, what are the 10 major things? I won't tell you all 10 of them. These are questions that people ask. One of them, first one actually, the meaning of life. What is the meaning of life? You say, well, who cares about that? Oh, people care about that. Because when you don't discover the meaning of life, you're going to live out life really in a messed up way. Something else that comes with that, you know, who am I? Maybe some of us are older, we don't care anymore, we discovered it or whatever. But I want to tell you, young people, particularly teenagers, are asking that question all the time. Who am I? René Descartes, famous philosopher, you know, he answered questions like this. I think, therefore I am. Just the fact that I think, I must be something. Who am I? I am something. Is that good enough to live? Well, obviously not, because I'm going to tell you, one out of seven teenagers, you already know the statistic, consider suicide every year. One of the major reasons is because they don't know who they are. Who am I? What is the meaning of life? And it goes on. It says, what is right or wrong? Another question. What is right or wrong? How do we know what's right or wrong? If I did this, is this right? Or if I did that, is it right? Who is telling me that? And of course, two other ones I want to share with you that's so important. One of them is, what happens after you die? Is there life after death? We may not think about that, but every time we go to a funeral, every time one of our best friends or relatives are sick in bed, in a hospital bed somewhere, we're thinking about that. And the most important one, is there a God? Is there a God? The world is telling us there's absolutely no God. If there is no God, all the other questions are meaningless anyway. There's no meaning to life. Who am I? What does it matter? Right and wrong doesn't matter. You can do the worst thing in the world. The best thing in the world is the same thing. If there is no God. I want to tell you, the wonderful counselor, Jesus Christ, he has answers to every one of these things. And not only answers, wonderful answers. He can tell you the meaning of life. In case you're struggling with why am I alive today, he can tell you why you are alive today. In case you don't know who you are, you know, I just don't know who I am. I'm just one person in 7 billion people. I want to tell you, Jesus Christ can tell you who you are and how special you are, how precious you are to the Almighty God, how important you are to this universe, to this life. And in case you don't know what's right or wrong, you say, I just don't know what to do. God has an answer. Jesus has a right and wrong for you. And if it's even something really great, I want to tell you, Spirit of God can minister to you and let you know what is the right thing to do. And life after death? Of course there's life after death. Are you kidding me? We're going to talk about more about that in a moment. But you know what? Because he has created life. And he has promised life after death. And is there a God? Absolutely, there's a God. A wonderful counselor God. So here's the title that we give, that was given to him in Isaiah here. Wonderful counselor. What will he do? He will counsel you. He will be there for you. You have a question in your life. You have some insecurity in your life. He is the counselor that you can never get, no matter if you want to pay $200 an hour to any counselor. They can never do that. But more than that, it goes on. The second phrase that's stated here, a wonderful counselor. He'll be called wonderful counselor. The second one is mighty God. What does that mean? I want to tell you, counselors can counsel you even if it's the greatest counsel. It's like a commercial that I crack up when I see that commercial. It's a commercial from, I think it's LifeLock. And, you know, somebody goes into a bank and robs a bank, the guns are blazing or whatever. Suddenly, everybody is jumping down, and the guard there says, you know what, you guys are being robbed. And people look up, do something about it. So, oh, no, I'm just a monitor. I don't do anything. And there's different commercials like that. I just die laughing. It's so funny, I think. Isn't that how it is? A lot of times you are counseled, but there's nothing you can do about it. You have no possibility to change it. You know, you're struggling with the meaning of life. You say, no, I'm just so miserable. I'm so depressed. And by the way, do you know that 24 million people are addicted to illicit drugs in America? And a lot of times because they just need it. Life is just not worth living. No matter how much people count something, they just can't get out of it. Another 16 million are alcoholics. They just need to drink, you know? I can't live my... There's no power to overcome. You might be counseled, but what can you do? I want to tell you something about the mighty God. He can do anything and everything. Not only can he tell you the meaning of life, not only can he show you through his word all that matters in life, he can enable you. He literally can physically, spiritually, emotionally, relationally empower you to overcome. I want to tell you people, if you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you never need to be a survivor in anything. You are overcomer. That's what the scripture says in Romans. You don't just have to survive something. Sometimes that's all we can do. We survive the situation. I can barely go through it. No. Not only can you survive it, God will enable you to overcome them. You are an overcomer. Why? Because he's the mighty God. It's not about you and me. What can I do? What physical power do I have? What resources do I have to overcome some things that seems impossible? But the Almighty God can and will overcome in you and through you. He can enable you. I think one of the things that we as God's people limit him, and that is this. We just don't expect him to do the great and awesome things. We just don't expect him to do that which is impossible. And so we settle with, well, I hope the Lord could get me through this, you know. I hope something. No. Ask and expect that God would do far greater things in your life than you can imagine. Because he is what? The mighty God. The next thing that is described of him is everlasting Father. What does that mean? Better understanding of that translation is not everlasting Father, but the Father of everlasting, or the Father of eternity. The person who created eternity. Sometimes we think God is limited by time, or God is limited by eternity. No, he's not limited by anything. Everything that is there in this universe, he created. He owns it. He's the inventor of it. He is the Father of eternity, the everlasting Father. You know what that means? We talked about it earlier, you know, is there life after death? There's a major question in philosophical thoughts. You need to understand that, of course, there is, because he created eternity. He's the one that will give you and I eternal life. And he promised that. For God so loved the world, Barbara used that verse. And there's verses all throughout the scripture talking about how he will give to us eternal life. We're studying through 1 Corinthians, and eventually we'll get to the place about resurrection. You know, pretty much every once in a while, our church and people have been here for a long time. There are folks that passed away. You know, many of you already know this week, a very surprising going home from a young person in our church that means so much to us. That's Ruth. You know, that's stunning, yes. But I want you to know something. I'm going to see her again. Not only are we going to see her again, we're going to rejoice together. She has already experienced eternal life. You know what? That's what the everlasting Father means. That's why we have we don't need to be depressed about any of that stuff. That's why we do not go like people without hope, the scripture says. Because we know there's eternal life. Because our Savior is the everlasting Father. He created eternity. He has eternity in his hand, and he's offered it and given it to each one of us if we believe in him. And the last phrase here, the Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. What in the world does that mean? I want to tell you, if there's anything that's lacking in this world, it's peace. In so many categories. Certainly, when you go to the Middle East, you know, we got wars everywhere. And if you go back 50, 60, 70 years ago, we got wars everywhere. There was world war. And you know what? Do we expect anything less as we get into the future? Do we expect that this world is going to just be, you know, sedate, and they're not going to fight with each other, people that hate each other so much? Jesus is the Prince of Peace. I want to tell you, first of all, the most important peace that he's given to us. He's the Prince of Peace. Someone that is a prince of anything can give you that. You know? He's given to us the peace between us and God. Did you know that before you became a believer in Jesus Christ, before you became, you know, a Christian, before you gave your life to the Lord and said, Lord, forgive me and come into my life, before that, you were at war with the Almighty God. And that's not a war you want to fight. I'm amazed at the atheists in this world and all the people that hate God. They think they can beat God. You do not want to fight that fight. You cannot be at war with God and hope to win. You're going to lose, and you're going to lose every single time. But Jesus Christ has given us peace between the Almighty God and us. Why? He died on the cross of Calvary for us. He paid the penalty for my sins. And because of that, God and I, we're good. I am now a son of the living God. I belong in the family of God. That's what the Prince of Peace has delivered to me and to you. So he's given us peace between God and us. Not only that, I want to tell you, if you're a person that struggles with anxieties and all kinds of stuff in your life, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a psychologist, a psychiatrist. I know there are drugs out there that you can take that can calm you. There's Xanax and all kinds of stuff, I suppose, that will settle down your anxieties and so forth. But I want to tell you something else. The Lord Jesus Christ, he can give you a peace in your heart that surpasses all understanding. That's what the scripture says. I want to tell you that he can give you a calm in your life that you would never experience, you could never experience apart from the power of the living God. He can do that. If you struggle with all kinds of anxieties or a lot of things that you're dealing with other people, I want to tell you, God can bring you to a place of peace. He's done that with so many people. He's done that with me. He's done that to people again and again and again because he's the Prince of Peace. Jesus can do that, and he will do that. And not only that, as we read through that passage a little bit more, you will discover that he's going to come back. He's going to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's going to bring peace to this universe. If you study history, you'll find there was a time in the Middle East where there was phenomenal peace, in a sense. For 1,000 years, in fact, it was called the Pax Romana, the peace of Rome. Why? Because the Roman Empire was so powerful, so strong, they subjugated everybody and controlled this great empire, and there was peace. Even though it's horrible to be controlled by an emperor and an evil dictatorship, we know, but nevertheless, it provided peace. Not the same at all by any stretch. But you know what? The Lord, when he comes back in the second coming, he's going to rule this whole world. He's going to bring peace. Complete peace. So he's the Prince of Peace. These are the names that was given to the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the names that was given to the child that is going to be born. The son that is given. And you know, thousands of years in advance, prophesied when that first Christmas happened. Now, what do we have to do? How does that affect me? I want you to know that it affects you in so many ways. First of all, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, wow, the world is different. Jesus is your Lord. He is your Savior. The Prince of Peace is in your life. All those things. What an experience. It is a phenomenal life. You know, it's sad sometimes as Christians when we live sometimes like that. Like, as a Christian, we're just like, we're not even joyous. Are you kidding me? Why shouldn't you be joyous? You have all these things because of a person. This is the Christmas gift. This is who he is. He brought with him everything that we've read about. We should be joyous. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, well, it's great too. You know why? Because you can. You can. You can give your life to Jesus Christ. And when you do so, you will experience this person, have a personal relationship with him. A wonderful counselor. Your life's going to change. Everything about you is going to change. He's going to be able to counsel you, walk you through all those things about your life. He's a God that is mighty. He can do awesome things. And he'll guarantee you eternal life. And whatever struggles and anxieties that you have in your life, I want to tell you, God will work at it. The Lord Jesus will minister to you so that you will have peace. I think the important thing here goes back to the first part of verse 6. For unto us a child is born. It's for us. You know, Jesus didn't do this for himself. The Almighty God didn't give his son, his only son, for some other things. It's for unto us. It's for us. It's for you. It's for me. Will you take it? Will you embrace it? Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, I want to come before you to thank you so much. Because the name of Jesus is above every name. The name that can just send shivering a little baby so that you can take our place and pay for our sins and save us. We just love you so much for that. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray.